News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
One story dominating the headlines for the past 24 hours. It's the fallout from that heartbreaking case before the High Court on Wednesday, where Vicky Phelan, who is terminally ill with cervical cancer, settled an action for €2.5 million against a US-based laboratory subcontracted by Cervical Check to assess the tests. The latest news and most of the broadsheets, all the broadsheets leading with this today, it's saying that basically the HSE revealing that more than 200 women diagnosed with cervical cancer should have received earlier intervention than they actually did. This is based on a review carried out by the state screening program for the condition. Paul, two issues here. It strikes me. We're going to be talking to Sam Coulter-Smith, who is an expert in this area, in a moment. Two issues here I would put to you. One is the test itself, and it's really important to stress that women don't stop having this test, because it is a vital and a really important test. But there are question marks now over the need for certainly a review of this test. Is that there will always be, unfortunately, false negatives and false positive results. That is a fact of medical life.
Yes,
the question is, though, are there way too many here? And that certainly needs to be reviewed. The second issue, of course, and one we touched on with the HSE yesterday when we spoke to them, is the long, long delays in actually informing women when a mistake actually comes to light, and whose responsibility it is to tell the women. And nobody seems to want to take responsibility for that.
What I see here is yet another controversy involving shortcomings, a tragic controversy involving shortcomings in our medical screening system in general. Now, inevitably, and you are right, there is a cloud. We get engulfed in, or we are engulfed in, a cloud of haze of emotion, and the cold, hard facts tend to fall between the cracks. Now, we accept that. But I have to look at my visceral reaction to this as and how I would feel if this involved my wife, my daughter, or one of the many, many other women in my life. And I would be heartbroken first, but that would quickly transform into absolute apoplectic anger, right? Now, I know you're going to say, and you are reasonable, and it is right to say, you know, there will be malfunctions in systems. But I just thinking again this morning, Shane, about how many women died because of a faulty screen on a breast check machine in Portlaoise. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The Minister for Health at the time was somebody called Mary Harney. Remember her? She referred to this thing called systemic failure. Systemic failure, ever since it was enunciated first, that I can recall, that 15, 16 years ago, has been the flag or the banner over the HSE in my mind ever since. And it effectively means no one answers. No one is answerable. Sure, it's the system that done it, Gov. It's not me. It's not him. Let's shove it over to somebody else. And as I say, we have to accept that there are failures, but misdiagnosis. But this is happening too often.
Are there too many That's people? That's the question.
And this poor woman and her husband, in her dying days, she's sentenced to death through incompetence of some kind. Somebody is responsible somewhere. I don't care. I know you can put your hand up to and say, look, there is incompetence somewhere.
There was a false positive test. That does not necessarily imply
there are 200 women. I were told. What about the people? Like, just try and think about it. It's unacceptable. I would just quote Maurice Hewson, who is a doctor. He says today in the Irish Times, in a piece that's well worth reading, sadly, this is not the first time in recent years that the health service has ignored patients' rights to information about their health. This is another dimension.
This is the communication issue we're talking about.
He says it's absolutely unacceptable for doctors treating women who were wrongly given the all clear from cancer to be told to exercise their judgment about whether or not to tell the victims about the misdiagnosis why they're treating them. Maybe that's
Vicky Phelan was left waiting 3 years before she was informed. No, the HSE haven't really been able to answer that question as to why there was a 3-year gap.
I'll say one other thing to you. The HSE earlier this week, because the week seems a long time when you're getting up so early in the morning, but the treatment of our children in foster care. Look at the Galway case. This happened. No, wait a minute.
Yeah, but
no,
very, yeah, but very no, different no. cases.
They are different. They are all cases where people suffer either desperately, in psychologically, physically, mentally, or with their, or give up their lives. But they are all people who were in a system run by an organisation called the HSE. Would you not agree? And would you not agree as well that sometimes you would get bloody angry about these things?
No, of course.
As a,
yeah.
But as a layman, well, maybe we'll go to somebody who will be able probably to answer some of our questions, assuage some of our fears and calm our anger. And that's former Master of the Rotunda, Professor Sam Coulter-Smith. Good morning, Professor.
Morning, Paul.
Our reaction, our reactions here are those of laymen who are expressing inevitable anger, because the only kind of emotion we can fall back on in something like this is anger. From your perspective, a professional in this field, what do you think happened here?
Yeah, it's very frustrating, and obviously this is an incredibly emotive and difficult situation for the family concerned and for all of the other people who have delays in diagnosis and maybe communication was poor and they didn't find out in a timely manner. You have to understand that screening is not an exact science. The way that the screening program is designed depends on some of the attributes of the condition, but it also depends on the sensitivity and specificity of the screening test being done. And if you go back almost 10 years now, when the decision was made to move cervical screening or the analysis of cytology to America, I was Master of the Rotunda at the time, and I went in to see the Minister for Health at the time, and we expressed our concerns in relation to this decision. We had a fully accredited, very high quality cytology screening system in Ireland, labs that were accredited to the very highest standards, and the decision was made to move cytology to the States. And we had serious concerns around that, around the quality assurance, around the different language, around the description of smears. And the result was that we had this situation where when there were difficulties or in relation to smears, there were multidisciplinary meetings which were transatlantic, cross time zones, across video conferencing. Language issues around the way in which these things are described in different countries. And that, I think, that goes some way towards explaining how we are where we are.
So that when you're saying you accept, you know, that there is always going to be misdiagnoses and cases that will fall between the cracks, this has made it 100 times more complicated and 100 times more vulnerable to misdiagnosis.
I, in my opinion, yes, it has. I think that was an unfortunate.
But can I ask you? Do you believe, by the way, that this wouldn't have happened if we hadn't moved the cytology test to the US?
I don't think you can say that for sure, but I think you can say that the chances of it happening probably would have been smaller.
You would have reduced the odds.
These things do happen from time to time. You have to accept that they do happen from time to time, but they should be very isolated incidents. And when they do happen, you're absolutely right when you were talking there that the communication and the notification of patients in this day and age, you have to hold your hands up and say that something went wrong here. An error was made, a misdiagnosis was made, whatever the situation was, you have to accept that and hold your hand up and take
responsibility. Yeah, but is that going back to another situation here, Sam, another dimension to all of this, and that's litigation, whereby whenever the lawyers get involved, the whole culture is keep your head down, cover your backside. We don't want the prospect of a litigation involving malpractice suits or compensation claims, like what happened, I suppose, to a degree to Bridget McCall, that famous case many years ago. Those in the system will try and cover the backsides.
Well, in my experience in obstetrics and gynecology, I would say that when you do hold your hand up and say, look, you know, we made a mistake here, and you're honest and open about it right from the very start, and do that in a timely manner, then you're much less likely to end up in that litigation situation.
Now, there's a piece Maurice Houston wrote this morning in the Irish Times. He says, sadly, this is not the first time in recent years that the health service have ignored patients' rights to information about their health. So the time has come for the Republic to emulate the UK and introduce a duty of candour. What would be involved in a duty of candour? Would you explain that to me?
Well, I think we have a culture of open disclosure now, which is essentially the same thing. I think when an issue is identified, that everybody who's involved is informed, and I think it's the same thing. And that's something that has, I suppose, over the last 3 or 4 years or 5 years, is something that is filtering down through the system.
Yeah. Okay. I got to ask you this because I know you're busy this morning. This case with the 200 women who have been diagnosed. We're here getting this line about the 200 women who have been diagnosed with cervical cancer. That seems to a layman to be a very, very high figure. What do you, are you concerned about that figure?
Absolutely, yeah. I think and whenever you get a situation where you've identified an issue with any system, with a screening system, with any other system, then you've got to look at it. You've got to take a very significant look back and see if and where things went wrong, and then put in place a plan to rectify that situation. And that should be part of medical practice. Every individual's medical practice, every hospital's medical practice, and every screening system's medical practice. So, I think in this situation, yes, it demands that a significant look.
But and just very very finally and very briefly, I'm in trouble here for time. But as a former master of the Rotunda, you would, and people who listen to you more than listen to anyone here in News Talk, you would still advise any woman listening this morning: don't give up on this check. Don't use it as an excuse not to get yourself checked out. Go for it.
Despite the fact that we've had these clear difficulties with the system, there is no doubt that cervical screening does work, and it does reduce the risk of a woman developing cervical cancer.
Okay, we leave it there.
So no one should stop having cervical screens, absolutely.
Okay, former Master of the Rotunda, Professor Sam Coulter-Smith, thank you very much for that insight.